Everybody get their agenda? Do they still want?
Turkey and agendas.
Turkey's off the agenda. Okay. So are you rolling?
I am.
Okay. So I'd like to call it to meeting to order November 13th. And to do a roll call, we'll just say our names. Connie Mueller.
Suzanne Schumer.
Matthew Emden.
I'm John Thiemann, the council liaison.
Ken Schiffman.
Tim Schwartz.
And this is Bonnie Harper. Harper. She's from the Open Space STL Land Trust. And it's going to tell us a little bit about that.
Good.
Later on. So, okay, great. Opening round. Anybody get a chance to read through the minutes so we can have any corrections to the minutes on June 26th or October 9th? Or I guess we'll say June 26th first.
I read through them and I just had a question of, just for information, I didn't see anything that was wrong. I could not remember the discussion of what the House Bill 939 actually included. And it was mentioned again in the minutes of the next meeting, too. And I do remember that it was horrible, but I can't remember what it was.
John, are you familiar with that 939?
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't bring it with me. I read the, I suppose you could say I read one of the executive summaries of the bill, and warned everybody to keep vigilant. That was
And I remember
I think
that.
I think it died. That was the one, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that was the bill that was to prevent anybody from mandating energy efficiency upgrades to buildings?
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's right.
I don't think that went anywhere in the state legislature, and it's one of those ones that kind of, to my understanding, the way it's been explained to me from Emily, I'm blanking on her last name, she's with the U.S. Green Building Council local chapter, Emily Andrews. She said that that's something that comes up frequently. It doesn't get very far, but it is important to stay on top of.
To keep an eye on it. It's been up three times now, and it keeps coming back. Well, I don't know if I can say like a bad penny anymore. It keeps coming back like a bad nickel. all right, let's see. Keeping up with current events here. Who got the joke?
Yeah, the last penny came up.
But it is expected to be reintroduced next term.
Okay, but no correction.
No, I didn't see any. I was
anybody have any corrections or other questions? So, anybody want to move to approve it?
I move to approve the minutes of June 26.
Okay.
I'll second.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Now, what about October 9th? It was a big gap.
Mm-hmm. It was. All kinds of things came into place.
All right.
No questions or corrections?
I'll move to approve that one as well. No one has any.
Okay, moved to approve. Okay. Another second. Okay. All in favor? All right. That's pretty good.
And Jan's here.
Yeah, and Jan has arrived. Okay, for special presentation, last time we were talking about getting more information about the project over on Canton, and I talked to Stormwater Commission, emailed somebody from Stormwater Commission, and the two guys I emailed did not have time to come tonight, they had other meetings. But they sent me some information, which I forwarded on to all of you. But also another thing, just getting a hold on projects of this sort and alternatives, like if we didn't want to, I haven't heard anything about it. I think it's not on the council agenda from what I understand. So I don't know if there's anything we can officially say, because it's not proposed, is it? That
It has never been on the council agenda.
Okay, so, but I thought it would be good for us to just keep up on not only specifics of that project, but what we can do with land in our cities in other ways to protect it, if we're interested in that.
Can I ask a question just for clarification?
Uh-huh.
Is it our role to just issue statements saying we support this, we oppose that, and to attach our name to?
As I understand our role, it's to use our expertise to inform the council, and we can make recommendations, but they're not binding in any way, of course, because
sure.
we're not elected. And, but I think of us as like a resource for the council.
But is it our role in this instance? Let's say we look at this in detail, decide it's a bad idea, as I suspect we would.
Mm-hmm.
Is it our role? I ask this, I guess, with an opinion attached to it, but to say so, to write up a document, if it has not been brought up.
Yeah, well, we've done that for other issues.
Yeah.
I mean, we've made recommendations.
But, Ken, there's nothing that we can comment on because there's no proposal to...
We can certainly comment on our view of the construction that is planned.
We don't know what construction is planned.
Yeah, there's really no plan for us to look at. There's only a million rumors.
Well, I mean...
And I don't want to get into those...
Yeah, I haven't been to the meetings personally. My wife has.
Uh-huh.
And from everything I understand, I'm on email lists, but from everything I understand, I forget the exact numbers, but there's going to be a large area with trees chopped down. And
I don't want to get into this issue. It's not on the agenda. I don't want to get into this issue because it's a non-issue right now. But certainly if there's something that comes up, we should give our opinion, because I think that's our job.
Yeah, I think if we gave our opinion now, nobody would listen to it because it's not a thing.
It would be very vague.
And it would get lost in in 6 months, if they just start talking about it, nobody would.
And if there were something, I would feel very strongly about it, if I could say that. So,
just so I can track to the
A lot
news,
of people are tracking
what's
it.
The
Do you know the Jewish cemetery on Canton North and South near Miller Park?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the western part of that is all just like a forested area, and there's talk of potentially taking that forest down and putting an apartment building there with some other
is
sort of...
Is that a flood zone?
It's a lot of things.
Yeah, that's smart thinking.
And
it's
and
not
as it said,
it's
there's,
not technically
there's nothing official moving.
I've looked at that. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
I would hate for this group to position itself, though, and to say no development, because any development is going to affect the land. And
okay, so I
so
introduced
I, yeah.
a speaker, and can we
mm-hmm.
not get into this discussion?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yes.
it's really not on the table right
mm-hmm.
now. So, Bonnie, can you give us information about land trust?
Yeah. You want to take that and pass it around?
Sure. Oh,
So I'm with an organization called Open Space SDL. We're a nonprofit here based in the St. Louis area. You might have heard of us as Open Space Council for the St. Louis region. That's what our name was when we started, when we formed in 1965. But we've since just shortened that to make it a bit easier to say. You might be more familiar with us as the organizers of the River to Care Trash Bash. So that just wrapped up at the end of October. We had our big trash bash event across the whole River to Care watershed. We had some cleanup sites here in U City. So we've done that. It's an annual event that we do every year. So we are a Missouri Stream team, so we get involved in the River to Care and cleaning that up and clean up various parks and everything around the region as well. But what you may not have known about us is that we are first and foremost a land trust organization. So what that means and what's kind of described in that brochure is we're an organization that is here to help keep land out of development, offer an alternative to development to private landowners. And we also are here to help create new public open spaces and parks. So when we were founded in 1965, we did a lot of fundraising efforts at that time to help purchase land and donate it to St. Louis County to become county parks, various municipalities become different kinds of municipal parks, the Missouri Department of Conservation, Missouri State Parks, et cetera. So that is something we still continue to do today. You may have heard in the news recently, just last week, we did a ribbon cutting at a land addition to Labar Creek Conservation Area in Jefferson County. So we purchased that land from a landowner adjacent to Labar Creek Conservation Area and donated that land to MVC. And then just a few weeks ago, we were in the news because word got out that we are working with St. Louis County and the City of Wildwood to acquire an 80-acre parcel to add that onto Packwood County Park, known as Bluffview Park in Wildwood. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, you know, letting different cities and counties know that we are here to help with needs. If you have those kinds of needs, particularly, you know, protection of open space and keeping land undeveloped and keeping especially permeable surfaces can be a very important, you know, practice for resiliency. And I don't, you know, I'm not entirely sure what U City's comprehensive plan calls for or its parks master plan, if it calls for, you know, protection or creation of more open spaces, but we are here to help make that happen. We're very well versed in working across lots of different grant opportunities. We work with a lot of federal grants, a lot of state grants, and then we have a lot of private donors and fundraising opportunities to help raise these funds, like I said, for new open space projects. And so that's what we're here to do. We're interested in protecting land for a lot of different values. Stormwater mitigation and flood reduction is a big thing we're here to try to work on. Climate change and resiliency, trying to keep carbon sinks, you know, here and try to prevent development from taking that out of our region. So if you have a climate action plan, then protection of open space can be a good way to try to achieve your goals and objectives for in a climate action plan. Biodiversity, habitat management, things like that. That might be less of a goal in a more urban, dense urban environment, but surely, you know, pollinators and things like that still need and use open space as well. So just keeping that in mind too. So that is just kind of, like I said, one side of what we do and how we partner with public agencies in that way. And on the private side, we work with private landowners who might be interested in putting a conservation easement on their property, also known as a land protection agreement. We're trying to kind of turn the language more towards land protection agreement versus easement, because easement comes with a lot of baggage, I think, for a lot of people. A lot of people think of easements as something like, oh, now people all of a sudden have access to my property and they'll walk over my property, and that's not true for a conservation easement. So we're kind of moving that language to a land protection agreement. But what that means is that if a landowner chooses to work with us to do a land protection agreement or conservation easement, they're essentially taking certain development rights away from their property, meaning that certain portions of the property, which might contain, you know, various reasons for wanting to do that. You might be talking about an old growth forest that you want to protect. You might be talking about native plant gardens or pollinator gardens. You might want to be protecting that. When you're getting out into the more, you know, rural parts of the state and county and everything, you might be talking about remnant prairies or wetlands, floodplains. All those different reasons are why we might be interested in working with the landowner to do a conservation easement, and you know, why they might want the conservation easement. But essentially, it's placed onto the property, and it runs with the title, and so it runs as a perpetual easement. So it can never be taken off once it's put on. A landowner can choose to donate an easement to a land trust. Or in some cases, if the conservation values are high enough and warrant compensation, then a land trust can purchase an easement from a landowner. And so the land trust is then responsible for holding that easement and monitoring it perpetually, literally forever. So that means that the land trust goes out there to make sure that whatever is established in that easement, the parameters are followed through. So if, you know, it says that this particular portion of the property, no buildings are allowed or no roads are allowed or no, then the land trust goes out and monitors and makes sure that those activities are not happening where they're not supposed to be happening. But an easement can allow, it can be flexible. It's, like I said, it's an agreement that you come to with the landowner. So you can have building envelopes carved out if you, you know, for just allow for some future flexibility. So it's very much a negotiable process between the land trust and landowner to work out what areas, you know, are open for some kind of development or manipulating of the land and what areas really need to be maintained for whatever reasons you're placing the easement. So we just closed on a conservation easement in Creve Coeur a couple months ago. This was a church who wanted to protect a woodland that they have on their property. They just thought that the way things were going with their congregation, their national congregation, you know, there might be reasons to try to sell off the property, to try to consolidate some of the church operations, and you know, for various reasons, they just were worried that that might be something coming down the line in the future. And the local congregation has done a lot of work to restore the woodland on this church property. They spent a lot of money and a lot of volunteer time to remove all of the invasive species from this woodland and replant it with natives. And they put a little nature trail through the property, and they really established it as like a really nice community gathering space and nature sanctuary in the middle of Creve Coeur. And so they just felt like it was worth protecting that perpetually. And no matter what the national congregation might decide they want to do with the land down in the future. So they came to us to see if we would be interested in working with them to put a conservation easement on the property. And we said yes. And so it's a small property. It's only 2.5 acres. So, you know, we can work with property owners at that size. We have another conservation easement working on further out and you know, out past Jefferson County, which is 360 acres. So, and then we've had a couple other landowners interested in, you know, in the middle of the city of St. Louis, where they have completely transformed their yards into kind of native plant oases. And they're worried that, you know, if they go to sell their property to the next person, they're not going to have those same values, and they're going to rip out everything that they did. And so they're interested in putting a conservation easement on to protect that investment that they put in to transform their yards into the native plant gardens. And a lot of what they've done also helps with stormwater, especially in those city environments. And we've had a few landowners in U City approach us about doing the same thing on their properties, where they've done a lot of work to transform their yards and residences. So it's just another tool, I guess, in a toolbox for cities as they think about the land use in their communities, and you know what current land use is, what future land use could be, and if there is an interest in trying to keep land undeveloped for various reasons, we are a resource to help with those goals. So that's really what I was here to talk about. We also understand, though, that you know more public spaces for cities in particular can be more of a burden to maintain, particularly if they are a natural area that you're trying to maintain and keep free from invasive species or try to reintroduce more native plants and everything. So we do have programs set up to help cities do that. So we have a program called Operation Wildlands, and we essentially train volunteers. We work really closely with the Missouri Master Naturalist Program, and we set up sort of stewardship plans or restoration plans for parks, and we host regular volunteer events to help with invasive species removal, to help with ongoing sort of maintenance of natural spaces, pollinator gardens, we plant trees, and things like that. And so we have these types of stewardship programs up and running, and I think we're up to 17 parks now across the St. Louis region. So we have an army of about 3,000 volunteers that we kind of bring out to these various parks to do all sorts of restoration activities 12 months of the year. This weekend you'll find us at Greensboro County Park doing a honeysuckle hack, and at Creve Coeur Park doing a honeysuckle hack and a tree plant.
become limited to honeysuckle.
For sure, yes. So yeah, just like I said, another tool to think about when maybe development isn't the most suitable, or certain types of development aren't the most suitable options for a piece of land. There are alternatives to think about and resources to turn to. And you know, we're also trying to get that word out to private property owners, churches, faith congregations, etc., who might be trying to figure out the future of their land as situations change.
I mean, the ideal situation would be for Temple Israel to put that forested area into this kind of trust, but I haven't.
You mean United Hebrews?
United Hebrews, yeah.
Well, that's why I was.
Yeah. But I don't have any connections to or know how you could get through to them on that.
I got a quick question, and it might be, I don't know how specific your plans are, but you mentioned the church that had the nature trail, that they put it, and they did the maintenance, back, I'm assuming, before you guys came into the scene.
Yes, they had a lot of their, they actually had an adjacent, well, they're a member of the congregation who lived immediately adjacent to the church, and they did actually a huge restoration project in their own yard to transform it to natives, and they ended up just kind of spilling over that work into the woodland right next door to them. But now we're working with them, after we did the easement with them, we're working with them to create like a stewardship team that's going to help maintain all the work that they did.
That was my question. And is that, so, and that's not necessarily unique, but that's specific to there. Like, you came into the site and you're like, here's the agreement where like you're going to come up with a team to manage the trails and whatnot, as opposed to you sending out your army of master naturalists to maintain.
Well, it's very much kind of a combination right now. I think the end goal for that church is they would like for their own congregation to manage that area, but they're just not there yet. And they need some extra support and extra resources to help train some of those people to be able to do it.
Okay.
And so we're kind of stepping in to kind of get them started.
Oh,
yeah, or get them going, I guess you could say.
So how does it work if just a person with a house in the yard does an easement? Who is the land trust, like, after they're gone?
Well, so the land trust then, like I said, is responsible for monitoring that easement perpetually. So no matter who owns the property next, so if that landowner either sells their property or passes, you know, however the property changes hands, the land trust still has to monitor that easement to make sure that the conditions set forth in the easement are being met. So it's our
trust isn't the owner.
No, an easement does not change the property ownership. It only changes development rights.
Mm-hmm.
And then and so the land trust holds the easement, but not the property.
Okay. So how do you get a land, like, how do you get people to do that work, though, to keep after it?
To maintain the conservation values? Well, that is up to the property owner, and we can talk with them. You know, we help find them resources to be able to, you know, take care of their property in that way so that the conservation values can continue to be there.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of state resources available, and we kind of point them to that. And, you know, MDC has our private lands people that can come and help and provide things like that. And like I said, we can also kind of help them. If it's particularly like usually a landowner comes to us because they're already doing this work and they already enjoy doing this work. But when the property changes hands, and if there's a new landowner who doesn't know anything about this, then we really make sure we work with them closely to understand exactly what the easement says and what they can or can't do. And then for the stuff that they should be doing, we really help kind of set them up to be able to do it.
So they would know about that before purchase.
If they do their homework, they should, because it's going to appear on their title report.
Okay.
Yeah. So any good, if you're going to purchase property, then that's a good reason why you do a title report, is to find out what easements are on your property, and a conservation easement would show up.
Okay.
Yeah.
It might affect the price of the property,
mm-hmm.
maybe positively, but maybe negatively as well.
It's usually negatively, and so mm-hmm. that's why there's compensation available. So
mm-hmm.
Once you put an easement on a property, it does reduce the property value because you're taking away the development rights. And so, like I said, in certain circumstances, if the conservation values are high enough, then the land trust can purchase that easement. And what that means is they're paying for that difference in price. Because a conservation easement, you have to get an appraisal done. And the appraisal will determine the value of the easement. if a landowner chooses to donate the value of that easement to a land trust, they can get, take a tax deduction for that.
Bonnie, you're a not-for-profit.
Yes.
And one other very quick question. Do you have a kind of minimum? I mean, like, say, for example, 1 acre came available.
We're working on 1 acre right now.
Half an acre?
Yep.
$1.
I mean, you have, so you really have no minimum.
No, and that is kind of unique for a land trust. A lot of land trusts, some land trusts won't look at anything less than 100 acres.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
But I mean, we kind of made a decision as an organization that, you know, what a lot of people are doing in the more urban parts of St. Louis is important, you know. I mean, we wouldn't just do it on any kind of yard. It would definitely still have to meet certain conditions in terms of the native landscaping that they've done or stormwater features that they've done and things like that, that we still have to, they still have to meet that kind of criteria. Mm-hmm. But the size criteria isn't as important, I think, as maybe to other land trusts. But we do look at other things too, like some of these smaller parcels that we're working on, they can form sort of a corridor with mm-hmm. other parcels or other bits of public land. And so that really helps mm-hmm. kind of enhance the reason we might be interested in working with them on an easement, because their land is already adjacent to a park, or it's adjacent to the church property in that other example, or it's adjacent to some kind of like utility easement that, you know, at some places Ameren's doing some work to do like pollinator work on their easements and stuff like that. So in those situations, it definitely elevates the reason why we would work with that landowner, even though it's a small property. If you look at the bigger picture and what is the corridor that it might be a part of, really makes a difference.
And you said there might be, there's somebody adjacent to Lewis Park that you're working with?
Yes.
So what kind of work have you done with Bluffview then? I'm just curious. It's a park that I frequent often.
Well, right now we're just in the stages of fundraising to purchase an 80-acre parcel adjacent to it.
Okay.
To which park?
It's called Bluffview. It's in Wildwood off of Old State Road. Mm. There's a lot of great mountain biking there, which is why I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, so it's currently the park is, I think, 225 acres. So this would not quite double the size, but it would add a pretty considerable chunk of land to that park.
And would it then be designated still Bluffview Park?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, like, they'd have to put signage up for that.
They have some nice walking paths, and then there's, like, a nice Bluffview overlooking the Merrimack, which is, you can't bike out to it, so I don't see it too often, but you can walk out to it. No biking zone. So.
You can see the golf course across the way, right?
Oh, no, there's plenty. It's just pedestrian paths. So there's certain areas that are designated for bikes and other areas that are designated for pedestrians. And the path that goes out to the Bluffview is, you know, designated for pedestrians. No, we it's called mountain biking. We're all over the place.
Do you guys work well, or have you worked well with MSD, talking about flood stuff? And like, there's a part right over here in U City that there used to be a bunch of houses that got flooded and ripped down a couple, you know, years ago. And like, I'm pretty sure MSD still owns that, or at least has some sort of rights over it. Mm-hmm. But if that space were to...
You mean Wilson Avenue?
Yeah, Wilson Avenue.
No, I don't think MSD owns it.
I thought that we weren't like...
FEMA bought it.
I thought that nothing could happen there because MSD sort of had
first
rights or
there.
Control over it. So
I'm honestly not sure. I should know that.
Yeah.
Do you? Oh no, you're the new guy. Sorry.
Yeah, not offhand. I would have to check.
I know
yeah,
that
I thought
U City is buying some of those
but
houses.
They had FEMA
the
funds.
FEMA funds. That's right.
So I guess it belongs to U City then.
If you just hadn't asked me, I would have said, I don't know. I should know that right off the top of my head. But
it's not being managed at this point, is it, in any way?
I thought it was U City, honestly. But
I'll check it out later. But I mean, let's just say MSD had some sort of control over it because of flooding in the past. Like, how difficult would that, you know, we're talking about maybe a block in length and like all the houses that were there that backed up against river repair are now gone, and it's just green space, like grass.
Maybe 2 or 3 acre
is,
kind of plot,
you know,
or something like that.
If we didn't want just green space there, is that something that your organization could do something about, even if MSD, whether they are or not, let's assume that they're putting the brakes on anything happening there for flood reasons? Is that, I don't know. I'm just, there's open space there that's nothing's happening, and as mm-hmm. my understanding, MSD is the one that's stopping anybody from doing anything. Is that something that you guys could do something with, I suppose? Knowing very little and confusing stuff I just said to you?
I guess I'm not sure what you mean by do something with. Like,
well,
you have to find out.
Like, you mean in terms of landscaping? Or
well, just
the use of
converting it into natural space? Or, I mean, I guess if U City owned it,
which I think we do,
yeah.
Then...
I know at one of the stormwater commissions, when I was talking to them about tiny forests, and somebody said, can you put a tiny forest there? And they said, probably not, because there is a remote possibility that they're going to scour it out.
Yeah.
And,
this was before my time, but I'm reasonably sure U City used FEMA money to buy it, and now it comes under U City.
Yeah.
In conjunction. It would be, though, in conjunction with MSD.
So there's no plans for it yet. But
okay.
Other than just, you know, mow the lawn. You know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I retract my question.
But we don't. Except
I don't even know if it's a question anymore. Whatever came out of my mouth, I retract it.
And I have to add, I think.
Yeah.
So everything we've just said.
If there is grass
so
there, we really would like something other than grass.
Do you? I'm sorry. Did I interrupt, Suzanne?
No, I just said if there's grass there, we really would like something other than grass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you ever worked with a private owner to reduce impermeability?
That's a good question.
A private developer.
Oh, developer. I was thinking of like a local owner.
I should say developer, yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Just,
would you?
I mean, other than kind of what we're doing right now with the Bluffview property is, I mean, we're working to not reduce it because it doesn't have permeable, I mean, it doesn't have a permeable surface right now. We're working with them to just not put permeable or impermeable surface on it to start with. That's usually what we're working from, is trying to keep something that already is permeable.
Would you consider such a project? If just right off the top of my head, just as an offhand example, there were 17 and a half acres of impermeable surface. And
like
a developer
fish.
Wanted to develop, let's just say for the sake of argument, 7.5 acres of it, there was 10 acres left.
Then there is the possibility of putting a conservation easement on a portion of it,
yeah,
to make sure that it stays undeveloped.
That includes that part of it was a floodplain?
Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That doesn't make a difference. Okay.
Does it smell like fish?
This is an offhand speculation.
Oh, it's a theoretical. Right. Okay.
Good. This is great information for us to get.
It is.
Before I went to that church, the church she's talking about, to a little fair there, I knew nothing about any of this. So it's really interesting.
Oh, so you were at the church that I was at?
Yeah.
Oh, you were there.
I'm
okay.
So
okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah, the church that I was talking about.
Learned so much.
They always welcome people to visit it. It's Church of the Open Word and Creed Corps.
I had never heard of open spaces.
Yeah, we've been around for, like I said, we had a longer name. And then, like I said, the land trust side of stuff that we do has kind of always been behind the scenes. We're trying to be a bit more vocal about it now. But like I said, there's a lot of other stuff that we have been doing you guys might know us more for. It's just River to Pair Trash Bash is one of them. Operation Clean Stream is a huge one that we've been doing. The Merrimack River cleanup we've been doing for almost 60 years as well.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I talked to your colleague Richard Esten. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
And please stay in touch.
Yeah. He's on our land committee of our board of directors.
Do you have that other brochure for?
Yeah.
Are there two brochures? I thought there were.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot to pass around the other one. I'm not sure how many. I think I have enough for everybody on the other one.
If there's not, I can scan it and send it out.
Yeah.
I was going to say Nature Conservancy is the group that I know, but I've never heard of it. And I guess you kind of cross over a little bit with...
Yeah, I mean, we do a lot of the similar work that they do in terms of the land trust side of things. Mm-hmm. They do conservation easements and land acquisition, but mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to like talk for them or mm-hmm. represent them, but my understanding is they tend to focus on those more traditional conservation projects, so the really large mm-hmm. contiguous tracts of land that mm-hmm. are like the last remaining prairie in the world, mm-hmm. you know, whereas mm-hmm. we're like, oh, this is some scrubby woods, but you know what, it's all that's left in this pocket of St. Louis. So
it can make a difference.
We just have a slightly different definition of what mm-hmm. of conservation value.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Operation.
I will let you get on with your meeting.
Okay. Thanks.
Oh, does anybody? I brought some cards. I don't know if anybody wants my card. I can pass that around too.
Yes, please.
Our next thing is new business, Saul Smart.
So when I was asked if we were going to do solar panel stuff, I thought that I needed to fill in some blank spots from our meeting with City Hall, our presentation about size and space and whatever else. So what I've done, and I don't need to like read it,
Can you remind me again what this...
The solar ordinance sort of presentation we made was to have, I think what we said was new construction over some amount of square foot needed to have a solar panel audit done.
This was actually follow up on the Soul Smart certification.
I did the solar, filling in some of those blanks. I didn't look up any Soul Smart stuff.
Okay.
So
I have a little bit of follow-up on just on the previous.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
I did have a little bit of follow-up.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that you had Soul Smart. I had written it down for me to do, and I didn't do my homework in that regard.
Oh, gotcha.
If you did my homework, great.
Well, I looked into it a little bit, so I just had a little bit of follow-up on it based on the discussion from the last meeting. So just kind of following up on the discussion with Clayton, I guess, being the example of having the certification. It looks like I believe Brentwood also. Is it Brentwood? Yeah. I believe Clayton is now silver certified, and Brentwood just got certified this year as bronze. If I'm using the correct, I believe that's the terminology. So I started just doing research on the city requirements for solar, and basically what I found was that, in my opinion, it's pretty... permissive. There's not a lot of hoops to jump through to get solar in U City. It's you apply for your building permit, and there's a review for the building permit standards and requirements, and that's what the review consists of. So that's pretty easy, I believe, for residents and. The contractors. A lot of the Soul Smart requirements that I was finding pertain to like revising some of the zoning codes and to make those easier. And basically, there's not a lot in the zoning code for solar at this point. So I found listening to the meeting recording to do the minutes for the June meeting that John had mentioned the zoning code revision for the entire zoning code that's underway. Basically, I think any kind of revision or anything that includes solar in the zoning code would need to be included as part of that. And when I say I think, I mean when I discussed it with Becky Alvin, the interim director, she said that as well, that it probably is something that is a little bit beyond what we have the staff capacity to do right now as far as making any changes to the zoning code for solar at this point, especially because the city's consultant is rewriting the entire zoning code. So I think the thought is we're expecting to get somewhere close to seeing drafts for those rewrites in February. So I think we would look for those and see what the consultant comes back with for sustainability, solar, those types of topics at that point to be able to discuss those at that time when they come back. And hopefully by that point we'll be at, I guess, full capacity with a full planning team as well.
Yeah, Steve, is there any reason not to give this sole smart information to the person, to whoever is drafting, the group or person who's drafting this? And I mean, are they aware of whatever? I don't know what Soul Smart actually looks like.
There's a pretty detailed, and I didn't bring, mm-hmm. I printed out a copy of it. There's a pretty detailed guidebook for, you know, the criteria to follow to become certified.
Does your team have this guidebook? Whoever is doing this, I mean, why wouldn't they have it if it's something that other cities of our size are doing? Why wouldn't we try to include it? Seems to me a no-brainer that at least, you know, you hand them the brochure or whatever, you show them the site and say, you know, this is something we're interested in. How does this fit?
Do you want to
make a
motion like that we could make that recommendation?
I don't know how to say what it is because I don't understand the structure, but I want it to happen, but I don't know how to articulate what to ask.
Well,
I would like us to aim at being certified gold, Soul Smart, if it's something like a LEED certification or something like that.
If we're not modifying anything, because like you said, there's no mm-hmm. solar currently in the zones, which probably means the contractor, the person, or the people aren't currently writing anything about it, I wonder, is that something that we could almost prepare and just give to them to, you know, do most of their work for them, and they can put it into the thing after reviewing it because their name's going to be on it, not ours. It seems like if nothing's being changed and it's just like Appendix A or whatever, mm-hmm. can we just copy and paste whatever Brentwood did, scratch out Brentwood and put in UC or whatever, and give it to them?
I see what you're
to
saying.
To facilitate that, if Brentwood is U City comparable, mm-hmm. Clayton U City comparable, mm-hmm. Just, you know, to facilitate this, because it's like they've got a mountain of work due February, and we're asking them to do something more. But are we? If we're just like, we did your homework for you here. Take a look at it. Make sure it's all the T's are dotted and all the I's are slashed.
That sounds good.
Yeah. I don't know legally that's allowed. I don't, you know.
Are we doing it all the time?
Well, I mean, but like, if you've hired a contractor or a consultant to do that, can we give words and put them in the consultant's mouth? I don't know.
I can check, But I think that's the idea, is that the, you know, especially plan commission, obviously, yeah, is going to be reviewing, and as well as staff, and you know, providing comment on what they're doing. It's just, we don't expect to have that to comment on until
right,
February. But I see what you're saying. If
I don't see why we couldn't suggest your support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, or even just write the thing and say, feel free to edit it as you see
exactly.
fit. But
I mean,
like,
it's not, but
if I gave you 80% of a paper to write, it's like, well, then just edit the last 20%.
Did you guys want to do that?
We want to have some way to encourage this to be part of the draft. But I don't know what we are asking for. Are we asking for them to?
Well, there's on their website, there's a specific pathway that's divided into five categories: permitting,
right,
and expecting, inspection, planning and zoning, et cetera. So something along the lines of just asking if they could at least look at this, or if you want to go farther and write that up, what...
Yeah, I feel like giving them something that isn't going to be a whole nother chapter to whatever they're trying to write would be more likely to get the results that we want, especially if two of our neighbors just did it.
Yeah.
Assuming we can get our hands on whatever they did also.
So are you saying you're going to do this?
That's what I'm saying.
I would like to have something to come out of this meeting, though, to at least say that this report would be... You know, we will provide them with a format, but I'd like some action at this meeting.
You want to vote on something?
I think so. I think we need something just to, instead of just pushing it down the road another month,
could somebody kind of summarize what it is exactly we would like them to be in this document? I mean, approximately.
The Soul Smart designation criteria, I'll just read from the website, is that okay? Are based on established best practices that encourage the growth of solar energy at a local level. SoulSmart provides clear guidance and templates to help jurisdictions put these practices into action. And the five categories are permitting and inspection, planning and zoning, government operations, community engagement, market development.
Okay, are we saying we would like the... What is the name of the team that is working on the new zone?
Zone Co.
Zone Co. Okay, I would like to ask that Zone Co. be aware of and incorporate the principles of Soul Smart into the zoning that is being... is being proposed for University City. Is that clear? Is that a good way of saying it? And then we could add that.
Do we want to simply refer to the principles, or do we want to state something specific about each of the five?
Let them look up the principles themselves and try to put
Tim
it on.
Wants
in.
To write
and then that we could put something in this resolution that a sample will be forthcoming from this, a sample format will be forthcoming from this commission. Does that take what you're doing, Tim, into?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering if we have to include something like a submission as part of a thing.
You just say it's coming.
Yeah.
Just so we have some action at this meeting, and hopefully, you know, they get that much. I don't even know how we let them know. I guess it's going to be up to Steve to let them know of this resolution, right? It'd be up to you.
It was myself and
what
Becky.
What is the time urgency here? By when would they need this?
Well, they're doing the zoning.
They're doing it now.
It's due in February.
Due in February.
To be February. Mm-hmm. Finished.
Okay,
yeah.
So
they're working on it now, obviously.
Yeah. So we want to put the idea in their heads early,
yes.
Rather than like.
Yes.
What put the idea in their head yesterday?
Yes. And as soon as Tim can get something to them, that perhaps that makes it easier for them to actually do it.
Okay. So can you restate your...
Steve, you want to see what I said? Would you want to tell me what I just said? I propose.
I've got it is a motion to make ZoneCo, the city's consultant, aware of and incorporate the principles of SoulSmart into the new zoning code update.
Okay.
A sample will be forthcoming from this commission.
Does that sound good?
Yes.
It's okay, that's my motion.
I'll second it. Anybody have
it? It sounds good to me.
I have a question, I guess, of clarification. Does the commission need to then vote on whatever product I generate?
No.
Okay.
I mean, they're going to do.
I don't think so.
That's
and
like,
we can delegate.
We're
that.
Just trying.
We would delegate
okay.
That.
That's fine.
And just
because you know more about it than me.
Well,
I'm just going to glance at the website, and I mean, it looks like there are ways that we could engage with them, and they might even be able to just give you language to drop in without us having to write it. My wife knows I'm here. Why is she?
Is this an issue? Do we know whether this is an issue they're sensitive to and thinking about, or is this going to be a brand new idea in there?
Have a ZoneCo? Is that they?
Have solar panels?
Okay, I don't know if that's like the city.
We
don't know
about ZoneCo. We don't know what they're doing. Is that right?
I mean, it would be new to the zoning code.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not in there now, so it would obviously have to be vetted and,
mm-hmm.
you know, ultimately discussed and reviewed and approved and and all that. On the SoulSmart website, they've got an interactive map where it shows all the cities that have been certified, so you can literally click on all the different cities. So there's all the examples of, you know, different codes that, so.
But do we have reason to believe that they're going to be sympathetic to these ideas?
It doesn't matter.
What we could probably do, since Brentwood and Clayton have it, I mean, code is public record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, code and...
Well, that's what Tim is going to do. He's going to do that and change
so.
The words, change the city name.
On this map, it shows only two communities in the St. Louis area.
Right.
So we could be number three.
Okay.
There's 11 in Kansas
City. Okay,
so the motion's been
made.
And I seconded it. Any more discussion?
Get ready to vote, sorry. Trigger happy.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
We've got to get Jan to say something over there. You're going to have to end up sitting over here with us. So
sure. Well, I'm happy so far. I like him.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'll work on that.
Yeah, I'll
great.
Work on that.
And you'll let them know.
Yes.
And
good.
We'll see what happens.
Good.
Good.
You know, I am going to have to go. I've got something else coming up. Is there anything else I need to be here for to vote
just
on?
Just on the old business, annual report, solar ordinance, council liaison, everything on the agenda. Okay, so that's great. We can get into the old business and annual report for the commission.
We can discuss this in however much detail that you want to.
Excuse me.
But
bless you.
I was provided the list of accomplishments to be considered for the annual report. Thank you, because obviously I wasn't here to experience them. I did want to provide a draft, not a draft, an example from one of the commissions that I helped with in Edwardsville. I didn't write this myself, but this is just kind of an example that I figured if...
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, sir.
Maybe write up if this is along the lines of what you all were thinking.
Nice paper.
Then I would go ahead and draft that for your review for the next meeting.
Is this committee you worked on in
the commission?
I wasn't the liaison for this committee. I went sometimes. I supervised the person that was the liaison for this committee.
Well, from what I remember,
she wrote this.
Mary requested what the things that we've done, but I think the report needed to go to the city. So, like, we didn't generate it. She was just going to write it up and give it to, I guess, her boss, John, who's gone, and I don't know who requested it or who needs it.
Oh, maybe I misunderstood. I thought the idea was that it had to be presented
to council.
To city council.
I think so.
I don't know.
Well, I was...
Yeah, I think one part of our bylaws is that we have to make a report, or we're expected to make a report on what we did yearly.
That's why it's just something
mm-hmm. maybe I think cleaned up a little bit and then sent to
which is
council.
Almost yeah. And that's what this was by ordinance had to be just presented to council. It was just basically tacked on the agenda. Here's what this committee had accomplished.
That's
so
good. Thanks.
Sorry, Tom.
Yes. Get that list. Prove this cleaned up. I think that'll be good.
Okay. Will do.
Okay, then the solar ordinance.
All right. So what I started to say, because I got ahead of myself, just as a quick reminder, City Council, specifically Council McMahon, I believe.
Steve McMahon.
Yeah, he had some questions for us after we presented about some specifics of the sizes and dimensions of the various buildings that we wanted to include in this ordinance. Yeah. And I said I would go back and look at some similar stuff. And so St. Louis City has a actual solar-ready ordinance. So, like, new construction has to have, you know, plug and play effectively for solar panels. And St. Louis City and also some of the other ones just are constantly referring to an Appendix CA and Appendix R something from like the standard codes. And so what I did is there's a Word document inside of our Google Drive that takes the St. Louis City ordinance and it's linked to the longer PDFs that you can find. But I also, in that same document, just copy and pasted the commercial building appendix and the residential appendix just to get some of the dimensions. A lot of those dimensions talk about, you know, this much roof space and this and that. There's not necessarily dimensions of buildings. It does say for commercial buildings, 5 stories or less. Again, we can copy and paste from this appendix for whatever the ordinance version that we want to put forth, because plagiarism is okay in the government, and we just say this is what the appendix says. we're not talking about actually putting in for real solar panels, but as far as this building qualifies, there's also a list of like exceptions if there's giant trees covering them all. So I think that based on the language, and you guys can go into the Schmaltz doc inside of folder that's inside of the Google Drive and take a look at what those two appendices are. Seem pretty simple and straightforward. It's still written in like that legalese type stuff, but I don't see a need to go any further with regards to saying this building is here, this building is there. I'm not ready to project this evening, but it's there to look at, and I think that some of the gaps, some of the concerns from council would be addressed, especially when it's like, this is the international codes and we're talking about just doing that. I think that would be sufficient. So that's what I did there. I guess, can I, if I were to make it easier, could I just email that to everybody, or is that one of those things I can't, official business emails I can't do?
I think if you send it to me, okay. I can disperse okay. it.
Yeah.
So I'll copy and paste that Word document just so you guys can see the two codes, and then we can just take another step closer to handing the city lawyer or whoever does the writing.
It would be John Baldwin, the city
this
council.
Is what, this or
attorney.
We'll talk to city council again in public or private or however you talk to them about saying, these were your concerns. I think this addresses your concerns. What's the next step? So, yeah, that's what I did. And I think if we say St. Louis City is using these and they're doing more than what we're proposing, hey, it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us.
That sounds great.
In my humble opinion.
Yeah.
Are there areas in there where we might think about something stronger than what is worded?
I mean, the codes, I mean, they
you know, my reading is that the council, and John say so if I'm wrong, but it's going to be supportive, it's likely to be very supportive.
Well,
I would be shocked if they weren't.
A lot of the codes, these codes are for solar ready, not the solar audit that we're talking about. And so a lot of them are just like, you have to have structural support for this and that, which doesn't even pertain to what we're talking about. We could, I mean, as a group, if we decide to just say, this is what St. Louis City is doing, that's what we want to do as well, that's a separate issue. Because we'd also talked about, you know, this potentially being the first step and then upping the ante a little bit down the line.
I would just encourage us in looking at the documents to think about, are there ways in which we might think about upping the ante a little bit?
Yeah.
There may not be. I don't know. But. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think if we take a look at the codes and we all decide this looks good, formulate some official thing, and then maybe in the talk next time or the next time after that, figure out a war plan of like what stage two, what stage three down the line. I think that would be a good idea. Keep a little bit of momentum and energy into this endeavor. Again, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. So, but if you write it up and we think it looks good, do we just give it to council then?
I thought that Steve McMahon said, or somebody on council kind of suggested, you give something to the city lawyer and he'll massage it into legalese.
I would think we wouldn't. We would want to go through that step first. Because if we go to the council, I may look at it and is this legally viable or what are the problems here?
Yeah.
It's just going to slow it up. I would think that should be our job to get that to get it to the lawyer.
So our procedure is for us to agree on a thing and then get it to the lawyer.
Yeah. I get if that's allowed. I don't know if we're allowed to do that. But if we agree on something, then either it goes through city council to the lawyer or goes to the lawyer. That's out of our control.
Can we tell a lawyer to do this task for us?
We can give him the meat and potatoes and he just makes it look pretty. So little piece of parsley or something.
Essentially, if you don't mind, you know, Steve is a lawyer and, you know, was asking for legal definitions of this, this, and this, which I perfectly understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems perfectly reasonable that, you know, you shoot it over to John Mulligan and ask him, the city council, mm-hmm. city attorney, you know, is this, does this work?
Yeah.
You know, and there we are. You know.
Good.
Yeah. Good.
That's
great.
So that sounds.
I'll send the two appendices, and then we can send it out to everybody, just so everyone's on the same page with this is the sort of things we need to work with, and I feel it's relatively simple. I mean, it's two pages,
yeah,
so or less even.
If you ever see some of these ordinances, they will have at the end of it a page or two of definitions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we say this, this means this.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, thanks for doing all that work.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah. That's great.
We'll see what comes of it.
Yeah. I mean, it seems, you know. I mean, I can't imagine it's a huge added cost. I mean, solar panels aren't super heavy, so the structural integrity of any new roof should be able to take them. It's just a matter of having the conduit and the connections there. And I mean, if I was opening a giant grocery store, I just, you know, just having the ability to easily throw solar up there sounds like such a great hedge to energy prices that are only... increase.
And again, we're not even asking for solar ready. We're just talking about go get an audit for free. So
yeah, you know, and part of the argument, you know, who knows what energy costs are going to be in 10 years? You know, if I'm a builder, it just seems exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Well, be prepared just in case.
Mm-hmm. So low cost to think ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right, so can we get an update from our council?
I will gladly do that, Madam Chairman. By the way, when you mail these things, it just occurred to me, you know, under the Missouri Sunshine Law, you don't want to mail to a quorum. What's a quorum here? Four? Five?
Five.
Mm-hmm. So one day you'll mail to three, the next day you'll mail to two.
Oh,
oh
does
wow.
that make sense?
Yeah,
you know.
But I didn't know that.
But if you send it to...
Or, yeah, but then Steve he will not be mailing it to us in terms of a meeting. But what you don't want to do is have somebody come back and say that you all decided upon something.
Yeah.
You know. It's not actually that you're doing it. You're avoiding, what is it, the appearance. The appearance, you know. So nobody's going to come back. You know what I do with the council? I'll make an email of three, and then I'll mail it one day, and I mail an email of another three the next day. That's how I do it. Anyway, thank you. So actually, a bunch of my stuff that I talked about you already covered with the solar panels and all of this. I know everybody says don't start off a thing with an apology, but I have to make an apology. I really dropped the ball. On the carbon assessment business. I emailed a couple of you about my confusion about getting a carbon assessment with Trivers when all of you said go do that. I did finally do that, but any delay in this is entirely my fault. And I know everybody says don't apologize first, but it did have the nice thing of making me make a list one page each of all the things I got to remember.
I don't know, John, you're going to be impeached.
But anyway, I feel badly about that. And so, you know, it did have the nice effect, though, of making me make lists of all the 30 things I had to do. Mm-hmm. Sort of like there's always a good regulation comes right after an airplane crash. Mm-hmm. And, well, I just crashed on one. But I finally got in there. The Trivers... Gregory, that is to say, Mr. Rose, the city manager, said that he would make sure that your wishes are conveyed to Trivers to get all of this stuff done, to pick up the ball there. You guys talked about solar panels, so I'm going to just skip that. One thing that I'm going now into my list of things that you might be interested in that are region-wide, you know, through my efforts with the Cool Cities, we had a talk with people down in the city about the data storage business that's going on down at the Armory. Mm-hmm. Y'all are up on this, right? Do I need to bring everybody up to speed? No, okay. So I'm not going to even begin to talk about the science and so on of it and the worries environmentally, because you guys are much more attuned to this than I am. The problem that they have right now in the city, in the Board of Aldermen per se, is a legislative problem, because they proposed this initially as a warehouse. Now, the problem with that is the regulations and rules that cover warehouses date back to, you know, I mean, really the 19th century, when what they were worried about was, you know, storing beaver pelts, you know, stuff like that. And it really isn't a warehouse, but that's the way it actually came under. So what the city, and, you know, watch this space, what the city has done is come back to them with a series of 40 questions that they want this corporation to answer in order to go forward with probably new legislation that will cover this kind of thing. Because on one hand, it is a warehouse. On the other hand, it's not really what people had in mind when they originally legislated for warehouses. So that's the element of watch this space. I have an essay on environmentalism coming out in the Post-Dispatch this Sunday in the editorial section. So
nice.
That's my own plug that will speak to some of our concerns here. And it, my topic actually is, why is environmentalism so goddamn hard? When it seems like it should be a transparent thing.
Mm-hmm.
What you were talking about with solar panels gets a, you know, why is it so hard? You know, when it seems, you know, when the damn things pay for themselves. Well, anyway, it'll be in the Sunday Post. It's going to be in today's Post, but they bumped it to Sunday, so, you know. Okay. Dr. Tiemann's suggestion, you run a great meeting. You all run a great meeting. It's a wonderful meeting. I highly suggest you start incorporating Robert's Rules. You know, the last...
Just printed this out today.
Yeah, you also...
Simplified.
Good. You run a great meeting. You have that nice combination of being nice and hard-nosed at the same time. I really commend you for that. One of the things that happened, you know, there has to be some input, obviously, like with stormwater this last time. But one of the things, and here's one suggestion I make, mm-hmm. that you give citizens' comments a limited amount of time, because they had to spend, after all of that was over, 3 hours to catch up on old business, as opposed to... you know, having people, it has a way of making people focus their comments.
Well, we never have any.
So. You will.
Yeah, my.
You will.
Yeah. Well, I understand,
cut down that forest over there, cemetery,
huge
numbers, lots of comments.
Yeah, and if you go to the St. Louis County, for example, they give each citizen 3 minutes and give a half hour total for citizen comments.
Well, that's how they do it in council meetings, right? They have a 3 minute limit.
Yeah, actually, in council meetings is 5 minutes, and with a total of 15 minutes total.
Yeah. So that's,
something like that.
That's a pretty
regular. I kind of forget. But you might think about it, because one of these days, I absolutely guarantee it, you know, stormwater was a sleepy little question.
I know, I was there at both those meetings.
Yeah, and but then they couldn't get any work done.
Yeah.
And so they ended up, this very last meeting, spending 3 hours, you know, mm-hmm. catching up on old. And it wasn't, and I really sincerely, honestly, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that the citizens' comments are not important. I am saying that at a certain point they become repetitious.
Man, you're preaching to the choir here.
I think you're making a really good point, and it does suggest to me, maybe not this meeting, but the next one, that we should have on the agenda setting up and having rules in that respect, so that should it become pertinent at some point, we can clearly say, based on our rules, you've got X minutes to speak, total of 45 minutes or 30 minutes, all speakers.
And, you know, like somebody like this young lady that was speaking, was 75 years old, this young lady, you know, I mean, when it's a crowd like this, you can always just kind of ignore the rules,
yeah.
You know.
No, that was a special presentation.
Oh, yes, right.
So that doesn't...
Oh, yes, right, yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, I mean,
anyway, that...
She was invited to say that many times.
I think that makes a lot of sense, just in case. And
oh,
we can always
you
break
can,
the rules.
You can propose that.
Yeah. Connie, have you got a one-page cheat sheet? Could we get that? Because...
For Robert's Rules of Order?
Yeah. I mean, if we're
Well, it's two sides.
Okay. I'm just...
But I can send it out.
I've
I just
looked
got
at longer lists, and it's just my eyes glaze over after
yeah,
about three sentences of reading.
Yeah, there's not... I don't know that there's that much we would do differently.
Okay.
No, you run a good meeting.
Yeah.
I just want to stay on topic. I can't... Yeah, I don't like a lot of words.
Yeah.
I agree. You run a great meeting.
You like a lot of words?
And just get off topic.
That's okay. That's okay.
I have my tangents.
Yeah, you know, but I guaranteed somewhere down the road, yeah, whoever thought the stormwater would have, meetings like this. You know, I remember when I was on the task force, and, you know, it was unusual to have anybody.
They look stunned. They're like...
Well, and, the meeting is a little looser, too. You run a more tight meeting, and I think that's a great thing. Anyway, that's... I don't want to... I'm done.
Okay. Closing round, anybody have anything else?
I got a couple of real quick things. One is I'm running a elementary youth soccer league at Centennial Commons.
Oh, wow.
It's currently, you know, only reaching out to U City school kids, but I would love it to just be kids that live in U City. And it's pickup style. Because I don't think I'm not organizing teams, at least not yet. In the future, I'd like this to turn into an actual league, like there used to be years ago. I mean, you probably did.
You're not a league.
No, I ain't nothing. And so I'm trying to get this restarted. If you know of anybody that would just like, I mean, it's primarily geared for kids to just go and kick the ball around in what feels like a real game situation. There's only four or five sessions, depending on what grade you are. If you know of anybody that would be interested, just connect them with me. Second thing is my wife and I run the 1U City Trivia Night, which is in February here in this building. It's, well, if you don't know, 1U City is like a district-wide PTO. It's not like Flynn Park has a PTO.
Oh, yeah,
like Jackson.
Right now, yeah.
So it's supposed to increase fairness and equity between the schools because Flynn Park has a lot of resources and Pershing does not. And so all the money goes into one pot and then divvied out equally. The biggest sort of fundraiser is what my wife and I put on for the trivia night. I think it's either going to be the 13th or the 20th of February, but it'd be kind of cool to at least have a city table, if not something else.
That was a really fun night.
Did you come to the trivia last?
I don't think I went last year, but the year before.
Yeah, when we were at the Heights. Yeah, so I've already written two or three trivia nights worth of questions, and it's just a matter of...
So can you be on our team? If we have, a green practice
position, will you be on the team? I'm the MC, man. I got to read all the things.
I always feel badly about those things, because I don't know anything about pop culture. They're always heavy on the pop.
No, I write
the
questions.
The point is to go and spend money.
Yeah, I mean, it's for the kids, man. It's for the kids. And the last thing is, I just got the default of you're a very strong candidate, but we went other ways. Before I applied again for the Parks, Rec, Forestry, and Streets director, whatever it is. And I'm trying to talk to the contractor group just to sort of figure that out to see if I can get them to reconsider. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a lot of reasons, one is that I've been working in Parks and Rec in U City for 15 years. I've done classroom management and project management for 15 years. Two postgraduate degrees in ecology and landscape management, and I teach sustainable city design stuff. And I don't know how you can find somebody. So anyways, I'm going to see if that. But if I disappear off of this, that'd be a good, like, off of this commission, that'd be a good reason why. And I would probably still come to this. But, you know, always getting the default, you're a strong candidate email, which I get about 2 a day these days. So hopefully that will change. So if you guys put out some positive thoughts about some people reconsidering potentially that position, that would be nice. So other than that, I'll shut up.
Okay. Anything else? We are adjourned. Nice. 7 minutes early. A new record.
Oh, I got 7 minutes.
Don't we need a motion and a...
Oh, we do.
We do.
Gotta read that Robert's Rules thing right there.
Yeah.
Do I hear a motion?
I so move.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, fast. We can leave.
Madam Chairman, you...
Chair.
Madam Chair.
Madam
Chairman. Chairman, yeah.
Madam Chairman.
Yeah, Madam Chairman, yeah.
I think you violated Robert's Rules there.
I did. Connie.
Yeah, what do you want?
You make a motion. You then get a second before you start discussion.
Okay.
Because if you can't get, you know, somebody...